Our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has stated, "He who recites 50 times durood upon me every day, I will shake hands with him on the day of judgment." Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madni channel, welcome once again in the silsila, in the light of Quran. As you know that in this silsila, we discuss some certain ayats of Quran-e-Kareem, and then we learn from Mufti Sahab some wonderful explanations regarding those certain ayats. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, today we are going to discuss the sixth verse of Surah Baqarah. Let me give you the background of the question and then you will be able to understand it easily. In the first few ayats of Surah Baqarah, some characteristics or attributes of muttaqi people have been described. As it is said, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Those who believe in the unseen and they establish prayer and then they spend in the path of, in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from that sustenance which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them. Right after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the kuffar as well, the non-Muslims and non-believers as well. As Quran says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Translation: indeed, those who are destined to disbelieve commit kufr. It is the same to them whether you warn them or warn them not. They will not believe. Musab, there are two things which I want to ask you. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they will not accept Islam. They will not embrace Islam. But what we have observed, that many times it happens, then when kafir, he comes to know about the truthfulness of Islam, so he accepts Islam. So isn't it contradictory to this observation of us that sometimes some people accept Islam? Then the second thing, it is said that you warn them or not, they are not going to accept Islam. So what we know from the beautiful seerah of our beloved master sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he had been preaching and inviting these people towards Islam. So when he already knew that they are not going to accept Islam, then what was the reason that he was preaching them and inviting them towards Islam?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The first question, that Allah Azza wa Jal has stated, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Indeed, those people who are non-believers, disbelievers, they will never accept Islam. But our observation is contradicted to it. Because we have observed, or we observe many people, when they are invited toward Islam, and when they are given the truthfulness of Islam, they accept Islam. And we have read the stories, the accounts of Sahaba Ikram as well. Before accepting Islam, they were not Muslims. They were non-believers and they accepted Islam, as Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala and many other Sahaba Ikram. So when our observation and when our narrations are contradicted to this meaning, so what is the meaning of this ayah? So basically, this ayah is not about all infidels. This is not about all infidels. This ayah is about specific infidels, particular kuffar, who have determined that they will never accept Islam, and Allah knows them, they will never accept Islam. So this ayah is about only those people, as Abu Jahl, as Abu Lahab. So now the meaning of this ayah is that oh beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed these people, means Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab and some other people like them, they will never accept Islam. Whether you want them or not, they will never accept Islam. So this ayah is about Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab and some other kuffars, not about every people. Now why Allah Azza wa Jal is telling to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this fact, they will never accept Islam? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passion in his heart about these people, that they accept Islam as Abu Jahl, as Abu Lahab, because they were the leader of kuffar, they were the leader of infidels. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had that desire that at least these people accept Islam, because if they accept Islam, so a lot of other people who are the followers of these people, they will accept Islam as well. So because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam desired that a lot and desired that too much, and when these people didn't accept Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sometimes got disappointed and discouraged. So that's why Allah Azza wa Jal told the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about these people, oh beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your duty and your responsibility is to convey the message of Allah Azza wa Jal to people. And converting people into Islam is not your duty. That is not your responsibility. Upon you there is only one duty, and that is conveying the message of Allah Azza wa Jal to people. And as far as these people are concerned, so I am telling you, these people will never accept Islam. So that's why you should continue your preaching, you should continue your conveying the message of Allah Azza wa Jal, and don't be discouraged and don't be disappointed because of not embracing Islam from these people. So basically this ayah is in that context. This is about some certain infidels, not about all the infidels, because as we have observed and we have read in books, many infidels accepted Islam, and till now, even now, many people, they are infidels, they are non-believers, they accept Islam when they are invited towards Islam. That is the first thing. The second thing, when Allah Azza wa Jalla has told they will never accept Islam whether you want them or not, so now what is the need of preaching them? If I know about a person, he will never accept my advice, so there is no benefit to preach that person, because I know he will never accept my advice. So why Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam to preach them, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam continued his preaching to those people? So the answer of this question, the first, that it is the rule, it is the law of Allah Azza wa Jal to convey his message to all the people, whether they will accept Islam or not. Because Allah Azza wa Jal will never punish any person to whom he didn't convey his message. As Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned in many places, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا, we will never punish until we send our prophets and our books. When we send our books and prophets to people, then those people don't accept their message, then they would be punished. Otherwise, Allah Azza wa Jal will never punish those people who are not warned. So that is the law of Allah Azza wa Jal, so that these people couldn't say on the day of judgment, oh Allah, if you had sent someone to us, so then we would have accepted. But you didn't send any person to us, so how could we accept Islam? And Allah Azza wa Jal had mentioned these words of kuffar in many places of the Holy Quran. لَوْلَا أَرْسَلْتَ إِلَيْنَا رَسُولًا فَنَتَّبِعَ آيَاتِكَ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنَّ ذِلَّ وَنَخْزَ. So they have mentioned these kind of things many places, and they can mention on the day of judgment, oh Allah, if you had sent your Rasul, your prophets, your message, your book to us, so we would have accepted Islam. But you didn't give us opportunity. So when you didn't give us opportunity, so how could we accept Islam? So that's why Allah Azza wa Jal commanded the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to preach even these people about whom he has told the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam they will never accept Islam. That is the first thing. The second thing, sometimes when we speak to someone, it is not necessary to address that particular person. Sometimes we address a particular person, but we want other people to listen to our talking, to our conversation. So for that purpose, because these were the leaders of infidels, these were the leaders of Quraysh, so all the time they are surrounded with many people. So whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conveyed the message of Allah to them, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam preached them, so that time, because they were surrounded with other people, though they didn't accept Islam, and it was confirmed they will never accept Islam, but because those people who are around them, they might have accepted Islam. And it happened that many of them who were around them, and they were not the main addressees, but they accepted the message of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is another advantage to preach these people, whether it was confirmed they will never accept Islam. The second, the third thing that Allah Azza wa Jal has said, sawa'un alayhim a anzartahum am lam tunzirhum. It is same for them whether you warn them or not, they will never accept Islam. So the preaching of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and not preaching of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was same for those people, not same for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. Because when he has conveyed the message of Allah, when he has preached, when he has tried to make them understand, he has got the reward from Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is the duty of every muballigh. So because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is role model, we have to follow him. And we don't know about people whether they will accept our invitation or not. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew these people would never accept Islam. In spite of that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam preached them. So it means Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us a message, a lesson, that I know these people will never accept Islam, but in spite of that, I am conveying the message of Allah to them. And you people, Ummah, nation of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they don't know about the people whether they accept Islam or not. So that's why they must continue their preaching, they must continue their tabligh to other people. So might be other people will accept Islam. So though that is not fruitful for those infidels, but that is fruitful for the preacher. So the preacher will get a reward from Allah Azza wa Jal. As Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned in many places in the Holy Quran, وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغ, on the tongue of the prophets and the preachers, وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغ, means our duty is to preach, to convey the message of Allah Azza wa Jal. So that was the duty, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was fulfilling his duty. So now those people accept Islam or not, it's upon them. But that is not same for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why after having known those people will never accept Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued his preaching.
Subhanallah. Dear viewers of Madni channel, whether you know or not, but it is your responsibility to convey the message of Islam to the people who are still unable to find the truth of Islam. Let's move to the next ayah. The number of the ayah is 7th, and it is again Surah Baqarah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَةٌ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Translation, Allah has set a seal upon their hearts and upon their hearing, and over their vision is a veil, and for them is a great punishment. So, Mufsab, in this verse of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have set seal upon their hearts. So, what is the meaning of setting seal upon one's heart, and then what is the reason of it?
The meaning of setting a seal over the hearts of the people is this, that now these people have reached that extent of stubbornness and enmity and jealousy that now they will never accept Islam. So basically, their stubbornness and their enmity and their jealousy, these are the reasons of setting a seal upon their hearts. And these were the things which made them deprived of accepting Islam. So Allah Azza wa Jal is describing that condition with these words, as خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِ وَعَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِ وَعَلَىٰ بَصَارِهِ غِشَاوَةٌ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. So basically, this is one condition. And the main point and the main meaning behind this condition is not accepting truth. As for example, in our own society, when we advise a person, when we make a person understand again and again, but he doesn't accept our advice, whether that is very, very beneficial and fruitful for that person, and he doesn't accept Islam, we say there is a seal over his heart. His heart is sealed. So, means this person is stubborn person, he has reached that extent of his enmity that he will never accept our advice and our message. So that condition has been mentioned in this ayah. Now in Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned the conditions of the hearts of the infidels in many ways. For example, in this place, Allah Azza wa Jalla has said, خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ سَمِعِهِمْ. Allah Azza wa Jalla has set a seal over their hearts. In other place, Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned the condition of their hearts with rust and stain, as we have recited that ayah many times, كَلَّا بَلْ أَرَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Indeed, there is stain over their hearts, or their hearts are covered with stain because of their deeds, because of their earning means their bad deeds. So that is another condition. Ran, ran, stain, rust. So that is the condition of their heart. Then in other ayah, Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned that ثم قصد قلوبكم من بعد ذلك فهي كالحجارة أو أشد قسوة. That is another condition of the heart. ثم قصد قلوبكم من بعد ذلك. Then your hearts get hardened like stones, or worse than that, more harder than that. That is another condition. Hardness of the heart is another condition. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned another condition in another ayah. Allah Azza wa Jalla had described, فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ وَلَاكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. Eyes don't become blind. Eyes don't become blind. These are the hearts in their chest which get blind. So the blindness of heart is a condition Allah Azza wa Jalla had described in this place. So now these are the conditions, setting a seal over their hearts. Their hearts are covered with stains and dust, and their hearts are blind. Then in another ayah, Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned, لَهُمْ قُلُوبُ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They have hearts. لَهُمْ قُلُوبُ, they have hearts. لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. But they don't understand through that. They don't understand. So that is another condition of the heart. Though they have heart, but they can't understand. So these are the conditions of the heart which Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned in the Holy Quran in many places. But the main point and the main meaning behind all these conditions is they're that condition in which they don't accept any truth. They don't accept the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the truth of the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla. That is their condition. So in that way it is said, for example, the first ayah, khatam Allah ala qulubihim. What is the meaning of a thing being sealed? When we put a seal over a thing, now nothing could be entered into that thing because now it is sealed. As sometimes the police set a seal over the shop, over the house. So what is the meaning? Nothing could come out from that thing, and no one can enter into that thing, into that shop, into that house. So mean setting a seal over their hearts means now the kufr which is in their hearts, that can't come out from their hearts. And the belief and the message of Allah Azza wa Jal and the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal and having faith in Allah Azza wa Jal, that will never enter into their hearts. That is the meaning of seal. And that was the seal which Allah Azza wa Jal put over their hearts. That is the first. The second, as in another ayah, كَلَّا بَلَّانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. The thing which is covered with stains and rust, that is worthless thing. Because if we go to purchase anything, any pot of steel or iron, and that is covered with rust, that is useless for us. We don't like that. So their hearts are worthless in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Then the other condition, فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَلَ بَصَارِ. Indeed, eyes don't get blind. In the matter of accepting truth, eyes don't get blind. Because accepting truth is the duty of heart, not the duty of eyes. So that's why Allah Azawajal is saying, فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ. Indeed, their eyes don't get blind. These are their hearts which got blind. So these were their hearts. So now, what is the harm of blindness? A person can't see something, he can't look something, he can't observe something. So because their hearts have become blind, now they can't see truth. Now they can't look truth. Now they can't accept truth. That's why their hearts are blind. Then the other condition which is mentioned, ثُمَّ قَسَدْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. Your hearts have become hardened. So what is the meaning of hardness in this place? The thing which is very hard, the same thing which was in setting a seal. In the hard thing, in a stone, nothing could be entered into that and nothing could come out from that. So similarly, their heart condition is like that. Nothing could be entered into that and kufr can't come out from that. That is the condition of their heart. So these are the conditions. Then the other condition which is very obvious, لَهُمْ قُلُوبُ اللَّهِ يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They have hearts but they don't understand through that. Because the main function of the heart is to understand. Our eyes function is to see. And our tongue function is to speak. Our ears function is to listen. But what is the function of heart? The function of the heart to think, to understand, to accept something. And when they are away from that, and they have determined, and they have decided not to accept truth, whether that is truth from Allah Azza wa Jal, so that was their condition which Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, لَهُمْ قُلُوبُ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They have hearts, but they don't understand through them. So that was their condition. So these are the conditions which Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned about the hearts in the Holy Quran. Now what is the reason? So there are many reasons. For infidel, there might be some other reasons. For Muslims, there might be some other reasons. And some reasons are same, they are common among both. Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned in the Holy Quran, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُ مُسْتَحَبُّ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنِيَا عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ. This is because of that, they have preferred worldly life over hereafter. استحب الحياة الدنيا على الآخرة. They preferred worldly life over hereafter. When someone prefers worldly life over hereafter life, so then his heart comes in these conditions. He is afflicted with these conditions. At the end of these two ayah, what I am reciting, ذلك بأنه مستحب الحياة الدنيا على الآخرة. Allah said, أولئك الذين طبع الله على قلوبهم. These are the people over their hearts Allah Azza wa Jalla has put a seal. And wa ulaika humul ghafilun. And these are careless and neglectful people. So what was the reason Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned? Istahabbul hayata dunya ala al-akhirah. They preferred worldly life, the desires of this world over the bounties of the akhirah. So when they preferred this world over akhirah, so then their hearts get into this condition. Then another reason which Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned about hearts, kalla bal rana ala qulubihim ma kanu yaksibun. Bal rana ala qulubihim. There is a rust over their hearts. Their hearts are covered with rust and stains. Why? Ma kanu yaksibun. What they used to earn in this world, they used to earn in the form of deeds, means bad deeds. Because of their bad deeds, because of their evil deeds, there is a rust over their heart and their hearts are covered with dust. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the same fact in one hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when a person commits a sin, then one door is put over his heart. If he repents of it, that is removed. And if he doesn't repent of it, then that continues. He commits continuously, the dots increase continuously until his heart is covered with dots and rust and stain. And that is the condition which Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned in that ayah. That these are the words of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the condition which Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned in that ayah. Kalla bal rana ala qulubihim ma kanu yaksibun. So means committing sins continuously is one of the biggest reasons for these conditions of the heart.
So these are the condition. Then the other condition, all the spiritual diseases are the reasons of this condition. Because whatever bad disease of the heart comes into the heart, that creates some certain problems in the heart. Whether that is arrogance, that is jealousy, particularly jealousy. Because about jealousy, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala mentioned in the Holy Quran, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَمَخْتَلَفَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْعِلْمُ بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ. Indeed, religious with Allah is only Islam. And these people of the book, means Bani Israel, Jews and Christians, they disputed among them. Why? بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ. Because of their jealousy. Because of their jealousy among them, they disputed among other and they didn't accept Islam. In which way? As we have mentioned in some place, Bani Israel, particularly Jews, they used to say, we will never bring faith in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Why? Because he belongs to Bani Ismail and we belong to Bani Israel and we are superior to others. We are superior to them. So that's why we will never bring faith in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he belongs to Bani Ismail. Only because of that jealousy between Bani Israel and Bani Ismail, because of that jealousy, they didn't accept Islam and they didn't take belief in the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it means jealousy is one of those reasons which creates these conditions in the heart.
Dear viewers of Madani Channel, what we learned from Mufti Saab in the explanation of the Ayah Karima, that because of bad actions and bad deeds, sometimes rust is placed on the heart of someone and then he will be unable to accept the Nasiha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to become pious, and then we should always be repenting in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because according to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Mufti Saab mentioned, that when someone commits sin, a dot is placed on his heart. But as he repents from that sin, so that dot or that rust is also removed with the repentance. So all of us must be ready all the time to make tawbah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as there are reasons of the rust, then there must be a solution to this problem as well. There must be a method as well to remove that rust from the heart. Let's go to Mufti Sahib and ask him, so Mufti Sahib, what is the remedy for this problem? If one's heart is in the grip of rust, so how one can remove and get rid of that rust?
There are some ways for removing this rust from the heart, which has been mentioned in one hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is rust for everything, even for the hearts. Sahaba Ikram asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so what's the solution? How can we remove that rust from the heart? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered, through remembrance of death and through recitation of the Holy Quran. These are two basic remedies for that disease of the heart. If someone recites Quran thoroughly, with full understanding, with full dedication, with full devotion with Allah Azza wa Jal, so then the rust and the stain of his heart will be removed very easily. That is the one thing. Then the remembrance of death, that is also very, very useful, because when we remember death, so then really we feel our heart is getting soft, and that is another way for removing that disease from the heart. And then other than that, there are some ways which are very useful for every kind of spiritual disease or every kind of sin for being removed. What is that? Having good company, adopting good company, sitting in the company of pious people, and then reading religious books, then listening to religious speeches which are about the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, which are about the punishments from Allah Azza wa Jal in hellfire, which are about the bounties of Allah Azza wa Jal in paradise, which are about the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. So listening to these kind of speeches are also very useful. And I would say, Alhamdulillah, for that purpose, the environment of Dawat Islami and watching Madani Channel is very, very beneficial for that purpose. As we know, there were many people who were considered as hard-hearted people, and they were considered the evil of the society, But alhamdulillah, they got rectified and they corrected their character, and mashallah, and now they are the pearls of the society. So that's why I would say there are many means. There are many means to be rectified. And one of the best ways is the environment of Dawat Islam.
The viewers of Madani Channel, let's move to the next ayah. It is verse 23, Surah Baqarah. Being a Muslim, all of us, we know that Quran is a unique book. There is no book like that. And then you must have heard that in Quran, on many places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenged the enemies of Islam that if you think that Quran is a fabricated book, then you must bring a book like that. If you are unable to bring a complete book like that, then at least one verse. So in this wonderful ayat of Quran, the same challenge is being repeated, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ وَدْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Translation: and if you are in doubt about what we have sent down upon our servant Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then produce a surah the like thereof, and call upon your witnesses other than Allah, if you should be truthful. So in this verse of Quran, enemies of Islam are being challenged. And then in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that Quran is a unique book. There is no book like that. So let's ask Mufti Sahab that what is special in Quran, and because of what reason Quran is a unique book and there is no book like that.
As we believe, Quran is the miracle, the ayah, the mujiza of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is the book of Allah, that is the word of Allah. So Quran is really unique book. Allah Azza wa Jal has challenged infidels of Arab and infidels of Quraysh, particularly because they were the first addressee of the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal challenged them to bring any book like Quran. And there are many kinds of challenges about Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal challenged them, bring any book like Quran, means produce the whole book like the book of Quran. That challenge was about the whole Quran, meaning bring any book which should be book, and that book should be like the book of Quran. The other challenge is, فَأَتُوا بِعَشْرِ سُوَارٍ مِثْلِهِ, bring 10 surahs, 10 chapters like the chapters of the Holy Quran. That challenge was less than the first challenge, because the first challenge was about the whole Quran and this challenge was about 10 surahs. Now in this ayah, what you have recited, Allah Azza wa Jal challenged them to bring even one surah like the surah of Quran. And it is not necessary to bring surah like Suratul Baqarah in size, Surah Ali Imran, Suratul Maida, Suratul Nisa, whatever surah you want to choose, you can choose. And bring any surah like the any surah of the Holy Quran, means it includes Suratul Asr, Suratul Kawthar, Suratul Ikhlas, Suratul Falak, Suratul Nas. It means Allah Azza wa Jal is challenging them, if you can bring three ayah like the three ayah of the Holy Quran, bring it. But they couldn't accept that challenge, and they couldn't bring any surah, any 10 surahs, any book like the book of Quran. Some of them tried to respond this challenge of Allah Azza wa Jal, but they got failed totally. Then they lost their hopes to bring any surah like Quran. So now, what is special in Quran? Why Quran is unique and no one can bring any surah like the surah of the Quran? What is special in Quran? So there are many beauties in the Holy Quran. And our scholars have written many books, particularly about Ijazul Quran, means why Quran is unique. There are particular books, as the book with the name of Al-Burhan Fi Balagat Al-Quran by Allama Zarkashi Rahmatullah Alayh, then Al-Ittiqan by Allama Suyuti Rahmatullah Alayh. Then many other books I have heard, and some of them I have read. These are about the uniqueness of the Holy Quran. And they have mentioned many points. They have described many beautiful points. Some of them I would mention now. The first point is, fasahat and balaghat of the Holy Quran, which is called eloquence of the language. Quran is at that level of eloquence which can't be produced by any human being, any jinn, any other creation. Quran is that level and that height of the eloquence. And how can we say that? How can we claim that Quran is at that level? We can claim that because Arabic language was the most eloquent language in the world. And till now, that is the most eloquent language in the world. And particularly those people who were at that time when Quran was being revealed, those people considered other people as ajam. They called other people as ajam, means the other people are speechless people. They can't speak. They considered other people as animals because their language is very inferior language. Arab people considered other people as very inferior people because of their language problem. They say their language is not a language. Means other languages, for example, Suryani and Arabi and Persian. These are not languages because there is no eloquence in those languages. The eloquence is only in Arab language. So they used to boast about their language and they were proud of their language. So when they were proud of their language, so Allah Azza wa Jal revealed Holy Quran in Arabic. Inna anzalnahu Quranan Arabiyya bilisanin Arabiyyin mubin. So Allah Azza wa Jal challenged them. You are proud of your language, you are proud of your fasahat and balaghat and eloquence and your literacy. So Quran is in your language, in your own language. So now if you say that this is not the book of Allah and this is the book of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has written this book or he is writing this book, so you are also human being. So then bring any book like him. And if you can't succeed in your whole life, then believe that this book is not the book of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the book of Allah azza wa jal. This is the word of Allah azza wa jal. So those people who were eloquent people, who were very very expert in their languages, they couldn't bring any surah, any book like the book of Quran. So that was the confirmation. That was a confirmation for the challenge of Allah Azza wa Jal that this book is the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. So that is the first point of Quran being unique, that its eloquence is very high and no one can bring that kind of eloquence. That is the first thing. The second point, that the effectiveness of Quran is beyond the imagination of the people, because the effect Quran has caused into the hearts of the human beings, no book could produce that effect into the heart of the people. Even those people who were the enemies, who were against Quran, who were against the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were stubborn, they were enemy, they were jealous, and they have determined not to accept Islam. Even those people, sometimes they try to listen to the Holy Quran because of the beauty of the Holy Quran, because of the beauty of the language, because of the effectiveness of the Holy Quran, and because they knew that Quran is very effective, it is inspiring, it will change the conditions of the heart. That's why they used to say other people not to listen to Quran. Otherwise, it was very easy to say that people, listen to that, these are only stories, there is nothing special in that. You can listen, then come to us and we will tell you the reality and facts. But they couldn't take that step. And the maximum step what they could take, that was only to forbidding other people from listening to the Holy Quran. So that was the effectiveness of the Holy Quran. And that was a Quran who inspired Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Usman Ghani, Sayyidina Ali Murtada. And this was the Quran who inspired those people who became the leaders of the world. So it means, what would be the height of the understanding of these people means Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Ali Murtada radiallahu ta'ala, these are the most intelligent people on the map of the earth. And these were the people who got inspired by the verses of the Quran. And till now, what is the matter of Quran? We recite Quran again and again. Even in our every prayer, we recite Surah Al-Fatiha in first rakah, second rakah, third rakah, fourth rakah. Daily, we offer approximately 48 or 50 rakah, including Farz, Wajib, Sunnah, Nafal. And we repeat Surah Al-Fatiha again and again. But we don't get bored. Because of Surah Al-Fatiha, we are reciting again and again the same surah.
Yes. And every time
otherwise, you know, if you read the most interesting book in the world, if you read third time, fourth time, sixth time, the sixth or seventh time, that might not come. Before that, you will kick it out. I have got bored from this book. I can't see this book. Please take this book out of my sight. That would be your condition. But Quran, the people recite Quran again and again, again and again, and till the last moment of their death, they desire Quran to be recited beside their bed so that they can listen at their death bed. They could listen the Quran at their death bed. That is the effectiveness of Quran, and that is the beauty of Quran. So that beauty is never found anywhere and in any book. That is the one point in the uniqueness of the Holy Quran. And then the other point, Quran is consisting of those news about future which occurred according to the statement of the Holy Quran. Quran told some unseen matters of the future, and those matters happened according to that. For example, at the time when Quran was revealed, that time where Sahaba Ikram was in Makkah, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in Makkah, that time there were two world powers, two empires. On one side there was Iranian, on the other side there were Roman. Roman was defeated and Iranian, they won the war. Those people, the infidels of the Makkah, they got very happy because of the victory of Iranian people. They say, we are idol worshippers and they are fire worshippers. Irani were Majus, they were fire worshippers. They are fire worshippers and we are idol worshippers. You are the people of book and Romans are Christian and they are the people of book. So as our brothers, fire worshippers, they have got victory over your brothers, similarly we will get victory over you. So that was their happiness aimlessly, without any reason, that because they are our brother. They don't know where are these people, where is Makkah and where are these people, but they were very happy with their victory. Sahaba Ikram, a little bit they were disappointed because of the rejoice of these people of Makkah. But Allah Azza wa Jal revealed some ayah in the Holy Quran, in Surah Ar-Rum. Alif Lam Mim. Ghulibat Ar-Rum. Alif Lam Mim are the separate letters. Ghulibat Ar-Rum. Romans have been defeated. They have been defeated. Ghulibatir fi adan al ard, in the nearest land. In the nearest land means Syria, because Syria was very near to Arab Sharif. So Romans were defeated in the nearest land. Fi adan al ard. Now Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling, wa hum min ba'di ghalabihim sayaghlibun. Fi bil'i sinin, within few years. Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling, within few years, they will defeat those Iranians. وَيَوْمَ إِذِ يَفْرَحُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, and that day the believers will be rejoiced. وَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ غَلَبِهِمْ سَيْغَلِبُونَ, after their defeat, these Romans will win the war, and that day the believers will be rejoiced. They will be happy. Now, there is a very strange thing. The time when Quran is being revealed about that battle of future, about the battle between Rome and Iran, that time the apparent circumstances are against Rome, because they have been defeated and Iranians are victorious. Now there are chances that again these Iranian will win the war against Rome because they have been already defeated. So they are weak and they are not confident, and these Iranian people, they are confident, so there are chances of their victory and there are chances of the defeat of the Roman people. But Allah Azza wa Jal told, وَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ غَلَبِهِمْ سَيَغْلِبُونَ فِي بِدْعِ سِنِينَ. Within few years, these Roman will win after their defeat. Mean the defeat, the previous defeat, after their previous defeat, they will win. And it happened. After 9 years or after 10 years, again the war took place between Iran and Rome, and then the Iranians were defeated and the Roman was victorious. So that day the Muslims were very happy that what Quran has told us, that has occurred, and the things took place according to that. So now that is the another beauty of the Quran, and that is the another ijaz of Quran, that Allah, whatever Allah Azza wa Jal has told in the Holy Quran, that occurs and that will occur, whatever Quran has told us. And in any other book, who can tell these kind of matters? If someone predicts something, those would be only prediction. There wouldn't be any confirmation. Even those people who predict about future, they say, according to our knowledge and according to our account and according to our skills, there are chances for that thing to happen. But they can't say it must happen, it will definitely happen. They can't say. But Allah Azza wa Jal told in the Holy Quran, فِي أَدْنَى الْأَرْضِ وَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ غَلَبِهِمْ سَيَغْلِبُونَ, and that happens according to that. So telling about unseen matter is the beauty of the Holy Quran, and no other people, no other person, or no other creation could bring that kind of news. So these are some of the beauties of the Holy Quran. Because of that, Quran is unique.
Dear viewers of Madhi channel, these are the some attributes of Quran because of which Quran is unique, matchless, and no one can write or bring any book like Quran. And according to Mufti Sahab, the few points which Mufti Sahab shared with us, that because of its eloquence, because of fasahat of Quran, Quran is unique and matchless. Then because of the effectiveness of the Quran, when one is listening to the recitation of Holy Quran, most of the time he can't help moving to the tears. And then at the last, Mufti Sahab mentioned that it is because of the news regarding unseen or the coming matters or incidents which are in the Quran, and all those predictions were proved to be true. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to recite the Holy Quran and understand the Quran. With these words, I seek your permission, and inshallah azawajal, in next silsila we will meet again. Sallu al habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Quran, Quran, in the light of Quran, in the light.